In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening is both our Old Testament reading from Exodus 12 and our Gospel reading from Matthew 26. Brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight is not a night to be somber, but rather to be quietly joyful. It is a night to marvel at what happened when Jesus ate the Passover meal with his apostles, and to marvel at the new gift that has come down to us through the ages. Jesus said to them that night, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." That was a particular ritual that happened at a particular place at a particular time. But it was not limited to that ritual, that place, that time. It was an eternal Passover that happened that night. By eternal, I mean that it was not isolated, disconnected, alone, or limited. The Passover gathered up and brought to fruition so many things from the past, and the past gave meaning to so many things that night. That present moment, long ago, however, was part of the most significant present moment in the history of the world. That night, history was turning a corner, and perhaps most obviously to us, from the Passover ritual, came a new gift for the future, a gift that would last until tonight and until the Lord returns in glory. All that happened the night of Jesus' betrayal is past, it's present, it's future. So consider with me this evening the eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat. If you listen, you can almost hear the past rushing into the upper room that night. In our calendar reckoning, Luke is telling us about an evening that happened around 30 AD. The first Passover event happened more than 400 years before. That time gap is about 6 times longer than the United States has existed. But the point is this. Beginning with that first event in Egypt, Moses and Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and God's rescue, every Passover throughout the centuries has been pointing to, it has been leading up to, this night, to the eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat with his disciples. If you recall, the descendants of Jacob, whose name got changed to Israel, had become a nation, 12 tribes. They were enslaved by Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And if you had asked the man on the street how the Egyptians could do this, the answer may well be, the Egyptian gods were stronger than the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But the true God changed that perception. The blood of the Lamb that marked Israel's home and spared God's people from the judgment of death. Then, with an outstretched arm, God bringing the Israelites out of slavery to the edge of death at the Red Sea, and then through that death of the waters on dry ground while drowning the Egyptians and giving Israel new life. The Passover meal began as a remembrance of that. And down throughout the centuries, the people were supposed to remember. But they didn't always remember. The history of God's people was up and down, to be honest. And the time came when they finally succeeded in breaking their covenant with God. He was eager and willing to be their God, but they wanted to be his people at the same time that they wanted to be the people of the Baals and the Molech and all of the enemy gods, even Dagon, around them, the nations' gods that surrounded them. And a covenant with the true God, as you full well know, is not polytheistic, but monotheistic. It's not pluralistic, but it's monistic. A covenant with the true God, that is to say, is exclusive. You shall have no other gods. But Israel broke that covenant. That covenant that Israel broke needed something greater. And in hindsight, we can see that God always planned it that way. Those past events were always pointing forward to something greater, something more. And so, that night in the upper room, with sin and evil all around, with quarreling disciples seated with their master, the past came rushing up to them, crying out, "How long, O Lord? How long until you deliver us again? How long will your people wander in the valley of sin? When will you do a new thing?" And the answer was, tonight, right now. That particular night, long ago, remembered the past mercy of God and it magnified it. On that particular night, Jesus confronted the slavery of all the gods of the world, even Satan himself. He faced that slavery. He took hold of that slavery, and he did not let that slavery go. On the night Jesus freed sinners of all the ages and invited them on that most holy night, he invited them to the table. It all came together in the eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat, right in that present moment. In a way, we can say that that evening and the hours that followed were the turning point of all human history. Jesus embraced the old, even as he created something new. Not utterly new, no, but with connection to the old, yet larger. New in a sense of renewed, larger in a sense of stronger, more tangible, and more real and beautiful. What God did for a few people in the Old Testament, he is now doing for all people of the world. Jesus begins that turning point in history with the old ritual that the disciples probably know in their entire lives. He takes a cup that is part of the old ceremony, and he blesses it. And he asked them to divide it among themselves. And then he says, "That's it. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, until the great and last day." Turning from the old, Jesus gives them something new, really new. None of the Gospels tell us how the disciples reacted when Jesus said something completely unexpected about these things. The Gospels don't tell us, so we shouldn't speculate. It's not important, but it was new. "This bread is my body, which is given for you. As you have remembered deliverance from long ago, now you will have a new deliverance to remember. Do this in remembrance of me." It was new. "This cup being poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood through my death." It was new. And the old Passover meal has now passed away. And in the most important way of thinking, the old Passover cannot be observed again, at least not by the disciples of Jesus. When Christian congregations have a Seder meal in our day, they are not celebrating the Old Testament Passover. It is impossible for Christians to do that. Something new has come. Yes, we can remember and rejoice in God's faithfulness of old. We can see the connections that came together in that eternal Passover that night. But something new has come into the present that night so long ago. As the letter to the Hebrews especially says over and over, this new deliverance, the new deeds of Jesus are one and done, once for all, unrepeatable and unrepeated. Jesus will be the Lamb whose blood is over the people and whose death protects God's people from God's wrath, from the angel of death, and from every evil. Jesus' death One and done, once for all, once for you, enables the people to leave their slavery behind and to be God's people in freedom, in forgiveness, in mercy, in love. Jesus is the new and greater Passover Lamb who is offered for us and for our salvation. He is also the great High Priest, the one who offers himself as the Passover Lamb. And yet at the same time, Jesus, even more than the Lamb who protects us from death, is the Deliverer, the one infinitely greater than Moses, whom God chose to deliver Israel. Jesus is both sacrifice and deliverer. And in that present moment that began on that Thursday evening, Jesus performs a new exodus. Jesus goes ahead of his disciples, ahead of his enemies, ahead of everyone into death, the death of the cross. He goes ahead of us so that you and I do not have to die for our sins. But he also goes through death, through the sea, and he comes out on dry ground to a new life that leaves our sins drowned and dead, permanently undone. That year, the old Passover ritual would have ended at about 6 p.m. on Friday evening. But what Jesus is doing did not end at all. He rose to life. As the Lamb who was once slain, he now lives. He is the Lamb. He is the Deliverer. And he did it for his disciples. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the whole world. That present moment was the turning point of all history, the past rushing forward, and Jesus took it and fulfilled it. This was the eternal Passover that Jesus decided to eat so that he could do something new for us and for all people. You have the past. You have the present. But what about the future, right? Well, centuries of longing and promise rush forward to the eternal Passover that Jesus desired to eat that evening. And all of history changed as he did something new. That night, and on Friday, and on Sunday, when Jesus stepped out of the grave onto the dry ground of new life for you, for me, for all people, he was the Lamb and the Deliverer, all for us. Once for all, once for you. But the events of that night were for the future as well. And in saying that, I'm thinking about two specific words that Jesus said. The two words are these: until and remembrance. Twice, Jesus says, until. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And two verses later, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. That's the first word, until. And the second word, remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. We'll take the second word first. Do this in remembrance of me. Even though the unique, eternal things that Jesus will do are once and for all, the meal that he gave to his disciples is a gift that keeps on giving. The events of that night reach out. They come running into the future and around the world as the gospel goes out and is believed by people. And that new gift, that new meal, comes to us from the upper room, through the cross, out of the empty tomb, to this most holy night. Jesus lives. And the living Jesus gives us his true living body and true living blood to eat and to drink. He tells us remember. Not recall. Something that you might only do in your head. But remember. Something that you do in your heart. And believe. Remember. And give thanks. The gift is real. And your remembering does not make it real. My remembering does not determine whether the living Christ gives his body and blood for us to eat and to drink. We don't make that happen. The living, ascended, reigning Jesus does that. And he does it by his word. But remembering in faith, in humility, in need, remembering is how all of God's gifts are received to our benefit and to our blessing. Remembering is faith. Faith that says, yes, Lord, the new gift is here again as you have spoken. It is done, protecting us from the death that we deserve for our sins. The new gift is here again for us, strengthening us as we draw together in love for you and love for one another. We remember you, Lord, as you bid us. We eat and drink your body and blood, and we are one body, for you make us that way. Yes, Lord, the new gift is here again for us. And it will be, by your word, until. That's the second word. The gift of Jesus stretches out into the future until it is fulfilled in the reign of God. Until Jesus returns in all his glory and power. And so, the Lord's Supper is a temporary gift. It is, as we sometimes say, a foretaste of the feast to come. A banquet is coming, at which death itself will be swallowed up on God's holy mountain. A banquet with a table in which Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are sitting, at which a believing criminal is sitting, at which you and all who remember and believe will be sitting. Past, present, and future. That was the eternal Passover that Jesus ate with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. The past fulfilled, the present changing all of history, and the future reaching out even in today. Yet I have one last question to ask. Why did Jesus earnestly desire that night? There are probably many answers, but tonight I give you only two. Jesus earnestly desired it because he loves his Father and was eager to do the Father's will, to carry out the Father's plan. And also, Jesus earnestly desired to eat that Passover that night because he loves sinners. He loves his disciples, he loves his enemies, and he loves you. Now and forever.